This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hey, my cat-loving friends, we're back with 19 Cats and Counting. I really hope you listened to part one with Howard Baskin, as it is fascinating, and there is so much more to come in part two. We'll be back after a word from our sponsor.
Linda, I love my cats, but I am so tired of lugging around those heavy boxes of litter.
And scooping every day, twice a day, on your knees. So what is the answer?
Well, I've heard of this new company called Kitty Poo Club. Do you know about them?
I have actually heard about them. They send you boxes to your home, so no hauling litter. The litter's in there. The boxes are recyclable. And they say one box should last one cat for an entire month.
That's great, but what is the litter like? What if my cats don't like the type they send you?
You can choose your type. We know we've got clients that are diehard clay and clients that are more, you know, working toward environmental friendliness.
Of course.
They have different kinds you can choose from and even different size boxes.
You mean they've got one big enough for my 19-pound cat, Peanut Butter?
Peanut Butter, yes, they have an XL box just for Peanut Butter.
Woohoo, he really needs that. He's got a big batukis. So how much does this cost?
You know, if you get on their auto ship program, number one, you don't have to remember to buy anything. No more opening the cabinet and saying, uh-oh, we're out of litter.
Oh, I do that a lot.
But they will give you your first shipment at 25% off if you use the code 19CATS. And shipping is free.
Oh, I love free shipping. Sign me up.
Too. Yeah, no kidding. Just go to kittypooclub.com. Don't forget the code 19CATS and get on it. I think this is going to be great. I especially want to sign my elderly parents up. This is going to be awesome for them.
I'm heading to that website right now. Thank you.
Me too. Catch you later. Bye.
Bye.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Everybody, welcome back. It's Linda Hall, your co-host with 19 Cats and Counting. Hey, Rita, are we ready for part two?
Oh, yes. Everything Howard has to say is just fascinating. Let's just get back to it. We're in the middle of talking about how the Big Cat Safety Act came to be.
All right. So I'm going to fast forward now a couple of sessions. You know, here we are building support gradually over the sessions. And you learn so much. We were so naive when we started, and we're certainly not experts now, but the chairman of a committee has so much power. If the chairman doesn't like your bill, it doesn't go anywhere. And we ran into that in some Congresses. We entered the 2021 session, this just finished session, in much better shape than ever before for a couple of reasons. First, we had managed to get the bill through the House in December of 2020. So now the bill still, it didn't pass, so it dies. You start over again. But so we start 2021 in the House saying, look, you know, it passed in 2020. So we start working on it. It still took until July 2022 to get it through the House. It is just a painful process. But we got there, and now we had 5 months to get it through the Senate. We also, at the end of 2020, we had always had, since 2016, we had had the endorsement of the National Sheriffs Association, which we got by attending their conferences and getting to know them and getting it in front of them. And so we don't have time for the full story, but the end of the story was that we worked out an arrangement where their senior lobbyist would work with us and add him to our team. And then we also had a few other people, among them, in one session, Jeff Denham, a Republican from California, was our lead Republican. He then didn't get reelected, but he joined our team this session. And there's a fellow named Marty Irby, and then you may know the name Wade Pacelli. They are all part of that organization, so they worked with us. At the same time, the other organizations were doing their lobbying, HSUS, is very effective and really the biggest in terms of effectiveness in that, and a couple of the others that I mentioned earlier. But this was more the group that was working more of the Republican side. In addition, in the 2019-20 session, for the first time in the Senate, we got a couple of Republicans to at least co-sponsor. We couldn't get one to lead, but co-sponsor. Well, then one of those, Senator Collins, agreed to be the co-lead in 2021. Well, that makes a huge difference because you're introducing the bill on a bipartisan basis. Now, the senior person of the minority party on a committee is called the ranking member. So you have the chairman and then the ranking member. It's really important to have the support of the ranking member, because if you don't, it becomes a very partisan vote in the committee. And that's not ideal. That's not the best way to get it to the floor for a vote. And we got information that Senator Capito from West Virginia was not opposed to the bill, but she wanted one of her Republican colleagues on the committee to be the, what's called the bill champion. And so we were working on that. But in the Senate, there's another process that the official name is unanimous consent. The nickname is hotline. And the way that works is there's a group of staff who do this, and you have to get the agreement of the two senior people on the committee and leadership above them to even do a hotline, because they only want to do it if it's got to, either going to go through or you're only going to get a little bit of opposition that you can work on.
They want a sure bet.
They send an email to all 100 offices saying, if you have a problem with this bill, let us know. And if everybody is quiet, the bill proceeds on. This is like a Hail Mary pass, okay? Because there are a number of senators who are known for putting what's called a hold, the hotline bills, even just automatically. Now, sometimes the hold just means, well, we haven't studied this bill. Hold on, give us time to do that. And so the odds of that happening seemed pretty low, but through Senator Collins and Senator Blumenthal's offices, they managed to get the hotline issued. You know, we're sitting there, fingers crossed, we get three holds. And two of them, we got released within a couple of weeks. We went and said, you know, you go and say, okay, what are your concerns? And either show them that they don't have to be concerned about that, or try to do something to assuage that concern. And the last one, Senator Lankford from Oklahoma, which you would think, Oklahoma, I mean, that's Joe Exotic. Shouldn't the senator from Oklahoma be on board from the beginning? But look, he had what in his mind was an issue. And week after week, as the clock is ticking and we're running out of time, Senator Blumenthal's staff and we were, you know, doing everything we could to urge that he release his hold. And finally, he did, and so the bill passed. So that's kind of the Cliff Notes version.
I know the bill passed, and I
right
was holding
end,
my breath.
December.
I was holding my breath, and every time you'd say that it was dead or that then you had to convince somebody else, I just felt this frustration that I can't even imagine what you two were going through. Was there Xanax involved? Because I cannot handle what I'm just walking through it.
I tell you, there were a lot of sleepless nights, I bet.
Well, there were. And that last 6 months, the way I describe it, it's like the last 5 minutes of a tied Super Bowl game stretched out over 6 months, because every step along the way, can we get the hotline? Could we get one of the senators on the committee? And we'd be told, well, after my primary, I'll look at it. And, you know, the lobbyists, these senior lobbyists, they get to know the congressmen and some of their chiefs of staff personally. That doesn't mean they do what they ask, but it means they get an audience, they get heard. And so as opposed to the conversation only being at the legislative assistant level, you get this conversation up and down the ladder. So it's just enormously stressful. And when it passed, I mean, even today, if, you know, a couple months later, if I just sit here and say the bill passed, it's like my transcendental meditation. What did they call the word that you used to have, your mantra?
Oh, yeah, the mantra.
How do you release something like that? I know it's like after having an accident or something and you're keyed up for hours and you're like, that's usually when my husband's going, your mother was fine. She was fine, remember? She walked out of the accident, you know. Something like this that went on for that many years? crazy.
Well, and it encompassed your life. I mean, all of a sudden you probably were like, okay, now I have all this free time. What do I do with it?
Well, and look, it obviously wasn't only us. There were these other organizations working very hard. I think, you know, we played a very important kind of lead role in it.
I don't think it would have happened without you, but yes, we have to acknowledge that it might probably wouldn't have happened without all the support that you got either. But yes, y'all worked your butts off. I mean, I can't even imagine. I grew up back in those, what were those? Those little cartoons that educated you? And it was just, I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm
I remember
bill,
those.
And I'm sitting here in Capitol Hill. Yeah, that sounded frustrating. But they didn't cover half of this. They didn't talk about getting people on your side. And
we watched Richard Simmons. We watched him get the Fit Kids bill passed, but he didn't go through near what
that,
you guys
That did. Was a struggle and took a long time, but that wasn't anything like this. Which is kind of a sad commentary because as important as a Fit Kids bill is, there were animals being abused. Priorities, people, priorities. Is there not a way to, like they do in hospitals where they prioritize the...
Triage.
That's my word. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. You know, the gushing wounds come in before the fracture. Who comes in before the sprain? I think that we need to work that.
Well, you all should be very, very proud because a lot of big cats are having lives they wouldn't have had if this bill hadn't been passed.
Well, the impact, we can only take a handful of animals at the sanctuary. This will impact thousands of animals who will not be born into this cub petting trade and not be put what we talked about earlier in the show. So for us, basically, we kind of view it as our life's legacy.
Oh, really definitely.
Really opened my eyes when I watched that series, Joe versus Carol.
And
that's
Peacock.
When I watched it and I called Linda. I'm like, you've got to watch this. I freaking love Carol and Howard Baskin after watching this because I didn't
exactly
know a lot.
What she said. That is exactly what she said. I love them. I love them so much. You have to watch this. Everything you've heard, put it away and watch this show.
This week, I had to go into the hospital for a very minor thing. And when I got in there, one of the nurses said, we thought Kyle MacLachlan was coming.
Exactly. If only you could get your actor to stand in for you for certain procedures.
Right.
Do the colonoscopy prep, you know, there are things.
Yes, please, doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
Carol versus Joe, I know it's not dead on, but you approve of it overall, yes?
Yes. The first time we watched it, it was odd. First of all, we had become accustomed to seeing ourselves on screen after, you know, the conservation game and working with Louis Theroux on, if you haven't seen it, also on Peacock, his film Shooting Joe Exotic is very good because
he's the one that.
Yeah.
Write that down, Linda. We've got to watch
him. I am.
But so it was very weird seeing famous actors play us. But also when they announced it, we're promoting it. They said it was based on Robert Moore's podcast. And Robert Moore did a very good job of being very factual. And so we expected it to be. But what we later learned, and also from another source of working with one of the cable companies on something, that they have to do, or they do, they choose to do, in some cases have to do, what they call fictionalizing. So they would take facts, but then kind of write a story that isn't quite what happened, but it gets the idea, the concept.
I gotcha.
So there was a lot of that.
That's got to be frustrating. Be like, I didn't do that. That's not what I did.
I didn't
say
that.
That's not what he said. That would be tough.
They really portrayed the love story between you and Carol, and I like fell in love with your relationship.
Well, and that's what I mean. The first time we watched it, they would be doing the scene in the aquarium, and well, that's not what happened. But then we watched it a second time, and we realized, but the overarching message is correct, you know, that Carol is a passionate advocate for a very worthwhile cause, that we have a very supportive relationship, and that Joe is not a good guy.
No, he's not. Never has been. I couldn't even watch Joe Exotic. I got to episode 3.
She tells
couldn't
me,
watch anymore.
Linda, because we'd both said, I'm not interested in that. And then she's
the
like,
the only reason we watched
asking
it
asking us questions.
That's why. That's the
so
only
she's
reason.
Like, I got to watch it. I didn't make it through the first episode. I just couldn't. I just could not handle it.
Let me tell you one other thing that it's on Peacock as well. A film called The Conservation Game, which was by Mike Weber, and that had a big impact on the bill because it exposed Jack Hanna. Jack Hanna, up until that time, even though he was retiring, had enormous influence at the Columbus Zoo. So the Columbus Zoo was opposing our bill, and therefore Senator Portman would not support the bill. And it makes sense. Look, if you're sitting in his office, if the largest zoo in my state is against it,
I'm going to take them as an authority.
So the film comes out at the film festival. I think it was the next day that Jack Hanna's family issues this press release saying, "Ooh, his dementia progressed a little faster than we thought, and he won't be available for public appearances." Days later, the Columbus Zoo comes out reversing their position and supporting the bill. And about a week later, or 2 weeks, Senator Portman signs onto the bill. So
it is so cool to see all the tiny little minutiae that fall into place, like that movie that makes that happen, that make the domino, right? We think we're not doing a lot, but every little thing we can do will affect, and we never know what the ripple effect will be.
We feel that way working with little cats, so I can't imagine.
True, yes, that this happened to fall into place, yes. It's crazy. And I have to say, you are not given enough credit. I just need to do a shout out and a little praise for the Howard Baskin, because, you know, I recognized watching that movie. I recognize a lot of Carol. I am kind of known as the gutsy mouthy, you know.
No,
shy and unassuming in all things. And when I'm passionate about something,
you better step aside, because she's going to plow right over.
Leave or get run over, exactly. And my husband is the strong, quiet, managerial type, but I couldn't do it. I'm all the mouth, but I couldn't do anything without him in the background. He's in the background of so many things. He holds me up, and he does so much silent work. We bring so many business decisions to him for our job. Nobody knows Brian's involved. And I know there is nothing in my mind that can imagine Carol would have made it through all these years without you, Howard.
I'm sure she wouldn't.
Doing this alone would have been impossible.
I think she would agree with you. And,
but not only were you there to hold her up, you partook in her.
Yeah, you were active in it.
She wanted to accomplish, you actually took a huge role in that.
Well, look, I did not get married until I was 54. And at the point where I made that decision, I said, you know what, if I'm going to do this, then my number one goal is going to make this person happy. And was very clear the best way to do that was to help with this mission. So I've said to people, I get a double benefit. I get to do something for the cats and make Carol happy. So
do you have any brothers at home? I'm single,
right?
We get asked that a lot. I do have a
brother. Is he married?
No, he's single. He's in Raleigh.
Oh, I'm in just outside Charlotte.
She's in Lancaster, South Carolina, just outside Charlotte. We'll talk after the podcast.
We have to take a short pause for our sponsor, but we'll be right back with more of our Howard Baskin.
How many of you have pets? My hand's raised. Now think about how lucky you are to have such a sweet little pet in your life, and that pet is lucky to have you too. But unfortunately, there are countless pets out there that don't have a home to call their own. However, Bob's from Skechers is trying to change that. So we developed Bob's for Dogs and Cats to help pets in need. With every purchase of adorable Bob's footwear or fun, stylish apparel, or even the cutest Bob's pet accessories, Skechers makes a donation to Petco Love to help save shelter pets. And with your help, we've already saved the lives of over 1 million pets and raised over $7 million. So while you're getting style and comfort with features like Skechers' famous memory foam cushioning, you're also helping to save an adorable pet in need and helping another lucky owner be connected with a future best friend and companion. Because happiness is having a loving pet by your side. Find Bob's at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, select Petco locations, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 19 Cats and Counting. I am your co-host, Linda Hall, here with my ever lovely, beautiful blonde BFF, Rita Reimers. Howard, thank you so much for coming on and being with us today.
My pleasure. There were some times in Joe versus Carol where we would look at each other and say, how did they know that? And I got to give them credit. They really, I think they must have listened to every interview we ever did.
I'm sure they did.
And found everything. And then we would think, oh, yeah, there was that interview that we did about couples who work together. And we talked about some of these more personal things.
I guarantee they had a staff sitting around with booted up laptops watching everything you ever said and did.
I'm sure they did.
Kind of sadly, that interview was with Anne Hecht and her blanking on her name. But and then, of course, she had that horrible accident after.
Yeah, so sad. Ugh. Well, what you are doing is incredible. And people, you have Nest cams, I saw, so that we can still watch the animals from
far. I love that.
Yeah, if you go to bigcatrescue.org/cams, I think, you can see those. There are other legislative things that go on. Right now, the USDA has put out what's called a request for comment about handling animals, which would deal with other species that our bill doesn't cover. And the deadline is March 6th. So people can go to, again, bigcatrescue.org, but /cat laws, just cat laws.
Oh, I did look at that page.
Okay.
And you can send a comment. And the comment we would ask you to send, well, it's set up for you to send a comment, but
I signed it.
What we would like them to do is make a rule under the Animal Welfare Act that you can't touch any of these exotic animals.
Have serval cats and other little big cats as pets, they kind of fly in between under the radar, don't they?
The bill does not, our bill, the Big Cat Public Safety Act does not, but the USDA regulations do. So what you have now is you have some people starting to use servals, you know, to get along around the law. I don't think that has the marketing appeal of a tiger cub, but it's the same miserable life for the servals that it would be for the tigers. So this is an opportunity to have this impact on these other species.
There was a town here in the Carolinas, I don't remember what it was, but somebody had one of those and it was illegal. So they were trying to get her to have to give the cat up. She ended up being able to keep the cat. I don't necessarily agree with that decision, but it is what it is.
So many things can happen. It really hit me hard. Remember the lady that had some sort of monkey, ape, gorilla, something, and it got loose and she called her friend.
It ripped her face off.
I mean, that got me. And I think partially because as a kid, I was obsessed with having a monkey for a pet, which my parents wouldn't allow, doggone them. But so I didn't get my monkey. But I'm like, oh, that could happen, right? Like
people don't realize they're wild animals.
What happens is you see Jack Hanna or Dave Salmoni or Boone Smith on TV with them on a leash and petting them. And they may sit there and say, oh, these shouldn't be pets, they're dangerous. But what you see has more impact than what you hear. To me, it's a little bit like if I sat here smoking a cigarette saying, now, smoking's bad for you. Don't do that.
You should never smoke. Shame on you.
Never mind.
Well, and if you think about it, the real subliminal message is you shouldn't have one of these animals unless you're special like me. And we all want to be special.
Of course
so
we do.
That's what encouraged. So the good news is after the conservation game came out, we have not seen a cub on any night show since then.
That's good. The other thing I was going to say, I was really impressed that Joe versus Carol used CGI and not real tigers.
She told me that before I watched it. It's CGI. Don't get upset. It's CGI. I'm like, okay, I had to keep reminding myself.
It was still heartbreaking, even knowing they weren't real, but I'm glad that they didn't use real tigers.
We were very pleased about that.
I had to keep reminding myself. It was a beautiful job. It was very close, but yeah. I have to believe that people do not understand what goes into taking care of a big cat when they bring one home.
Honey, they don't understand what goes into taking care of a little cat.
A house cat, I know that's true, yes. Yeah. And we see that with Bengals. Bengals aren't exactly wild animals, but they're somewhere in between that house cat.
Well, they are. They're a hybrid between a wild animal. And as you know, they breed them down through 5 generations. Well, what happens to the first 4 generations?
That's a good question.
And even at what they call F5, many of them don't work out. And we had one lady show up with a Savannah cat that in the first 2 years, they're basically infants. They're manageable. And then they become aggressive. And she tried for 3 more years. She paid $15,000, I think, for this cat.
Whoa.
Set up a room in her house devoted to the cat because most of the time they won't use a litter box. And she showed up with scars up and down her arms. I just can't do it anymore. And these places that breed them tend to be like what we think of as puppy mills, these horrible breeding conditions. It's not natural for a serval to breed with a domestic cat. Normally they would eat a domestic cat.
Right. This is incredibly going against their nature. And it's so important when we work with our behavior work to look at outside and bring it inside and give them all of the enrichment that they would get outside. We tell everybody we're doing it wrong, right?
Could you instead imagine hunting, tigerizing your house? How the heck would you
right? do that? Right? Tiger-proof your house. Instead of catching their prey and eating it, we serve them a dish of dead critter and go here. And, you know, all the things that we do that are against their nature. To meet the needs of a lion or a tiger, what does it even cost to feed a big cat on average?
That's a good question.
Well, a average tiger, I mean, they range in size, but they eat between 10 and 15 pounds a day. You know, some of them a little less. And I'm sorry, I'm dog sitting and...
Ah, that's absolutely fine.
Okay, you can be a part of it. Okay.
Of course. Oh, pretty baby. Looks like my former.
You got soot mix. Right behind you.
I do.
Mine went away. They got tired of being on camera.
The other big issue is the one you were alluding to, which is in the wild, they would be constantly challenged. And we spend an enormous amount of time doing what's called enrichment, trying to, you know, we have an enrichment committee that meets every Wednesday, and they'll make out of boxes and paper, things that the animal can't, you know, hurt themselves with, a mock warthog and put it in there, let the tiger tear it apart, or, you know, holiday themed like St. Patrick's Day or things like that, you know, stimulate them. We have two larger enclosures that we call the vacation enclosures, and we rotate the tigers through the big one and the smaller cats through the small one. So they get a change of scenery, change of neighbors, and just, you know, we spend just a lot of time doing that. Well, you look at the conditions they live in. When somebody takes one home, they get told by some breeder that if you get it when it's a cub, it'll bond to you and be safe. They see Siegfried and Roy with a tiger on their sofa and think that they live with the tiger in the house, which is
exactly
ridiculous. They take those pictures and get that tiger the hell out of there as fast as they can before it craps all over the sofa. And so
imagine getting that behavior call.
So these animals end up in this tiny box. It would be like locking you in your bathroom for your entire life. It'd be like solitary confinement with nothing to do. And it's just psychologically, I mean, you can even see it on their faces, you know, the sad look when we get these animals out of there. And one of the most joyous moments are when we take these animals and put them into an enclosure. So many of them have never walked on grass.
Heartbreaking.
We got a circus tiger who, you know, had always been, he was from Peru. And when he walked out of the enclosure, out of the transport wagon, and he put his foot down. It's like, what is that? And he started walking around and sniffing everything. And then that particular enclosure, there's an area of the lake that the tiger can swim up to.
Ooh. Down,
up to a barrier. And the first time he put his paw in, it's like, whoa, what's that? You know, and then a week later, he was swimming around like
a tiger who never touched water or grass. That is the saddest
thing. My next question was going to be, how do you do environment enrichment for the big cats? But sounds like that's what you do. You're giving them some natural environment, some water they can play in. How else do you keep them mentally stimulated, Howard?
We do operant conditioning. So there are certain behaviors we will try to train them for, not for any performance purpose, but for a medical purpose. So, for instance, it's helpful to, until they get too old to do it, to train the tigers to come up like this. And then the vet can look in their mouth better, see their neck, see their paws.
Right, yeah.
We train them to be able to take their tail out and take, you know, give them injections or while they're sitting by the side of the cage. You know, we'll train them to show one paw or the other. So, you know, and that entire process is also an enrichment. We do a lot of things just with toilet paper tubes and bigger tubes for the big cats with spices and perfumes and, you know, particular spices and perfumes that introduce
that appeal to them
to keep them interested. So there's just a whole bunch of those things that we do.
I put treats in toilet paper tubes and fold the edges on and hide them. And that's what I was saying with the enrichment, because I have 12 house cats, and every morning after I make the bed and I'm ready to sit down to work, I put their cat beds on the bed. I usually put their cat grass on, but I'm trying to let it grow a little because they mowed it to
death. They like it.
I often put Relax My Cat on the television for them to watch. At night, I hide silver vine sticks and put treat balls out for them to do. And it's a lot.
I do this too. I'm 15. It's a lot.
And so now I'm imagining a lion or a tiger, you know?
Enrichment
for them, because bored cats get into trouble and they get depressed and anxiety.
I'm impressed by everything you guys do. I hope you keep doing this awesome work. Any last words of wisdom for us, Howard, before we depart?
Well, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't suggest that if people want to help, they can go to our website and look for the donate button. So awesome. We appreciate that.
So that's bigcatrescue.org. I'll be putting that website address and a few others. Linda, any last questions for Howard?
Honey, I could keep Howard here for days. Just so appreciative of you coming on, Howard. We were just so excited because this is great information and people need to know about this. And you and Carol have created a name that is recognizable for yourself in saving the big cats. So you hold a lot of clout, and when you speak, people listen. And so we appreciate that and furthering getting the word out.
Well, I'll tell you one last little anecdote related to that. We used to do an annual gala, and we would give an award to some animal hero, we would call it. And one year it was Bo Derek. And
oh, yeah.
As we guided her off the stage, I had to be like one of the bodyguards in front. And, you know, people were crushing around us in this crowd of a few hundred people. And my thought at the time was, thank God we're not famous. It must be awful.
So you have to watch what you say, because
truth.
We're going to show
truth.
You.
Suddenly you're representative.
You tempted God.
They say the subconscious does not hear the negative, so don't plan any negative thoughts.
That's right.
Exactly. I keep asking for the $1 million for our sanctuary.
I know, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. We'll build our sanctuary. It'll get there. Smaller scale. Yes. Fortunately, less
work. Oh, there's going to be a true sanctuary, too.
Thank you both. This was fun.
Thank you, Howard. We really appreciate you.
We're honored to have you on our show, Howard. Send our best to Carol. Of course, I always have to thank my lovely co-host, Linda Hall, who adds the sparkle. And I'd be remiss if I didn't thank Mark Winter, who gave us this awesome spot on Pet Life Radio. Thank you so much for being our wonderful producer. Now, don't forget, everyone, every day is Catter Day. And we'll see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.